KW1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Arizona House members voted to repeal a Civil War era abortion ban.
The House passed it. Now it will go to the Senate. The Senate has their own bill. They had a second reading to appeal the law. So basically the Senate won't be meeting until next Wednesday, but that's when we're going to see some big action.
ABC's Jacqueline Lee in Phoenix. U.S. officials say for the first time Ukraine is using long-range ballistic missiles, which were provided by the U.S. They struck a Russian military airfield in Crimea and Russian troops in another occupied area overnight. Another day of pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses across the country. That's a police officer warning students at the University of Texas at Austin to disperse. The protesters kept chanting. The school says at least 10 were arrested. The University of Southern California says it's closing its campus to the public as the demonstrations continue. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of Wisconsin's high school sports governing body says the conversation about name, image, and likeness deals is just beginning. A vote on a proposed NIL amendment to the WIAA Constitution failed today. 31 states allow NIL deals for high schoolers, including Minnesota and Illinois. Use of restraints and seclusion in Wisconsin schools went down about 8% last year. That's according to the State Department of Public Instruction. The DPI's Tim Pirenboom says it happens most with elementary schoolers with disabilities.
Frequent use of seclusion restraint is usually a symptom of larger, more systemic issues, whether that's staffing shortages or lack of proper training.
Pirenboom says most schools report no cases of using seclusion or restraint. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Local officials had a roundtable discussion in Madison Tuesday to ask for the closure of Green Bay Correctional Institution. Alloway President Jim Rafter.
It is time for Green Bay Correctional Institution to close. The facility has exhausted its lifespan and cannot provide those inside with the tools necessary to navigate a return to society. It is unsafe for the guards, the individuals housed there, and the community where it resides.
The 26-year-old prison needs up to $275 million in repairs. In August of 2023, reconstruction of Menominee Park's Pratt Trail in Oshkosh was delayed when workers discovered artifacts from a Native American village dating from about 900 to 1600 AD. Archaeologists have now resumed their work alongside road crews. They expect to be completed by fall. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Pacers beat the Bucks 125-108. The series now tied one game apiece. On Sunday, the Bucks dominated Indiana. What was the difference? Doc Rivers.
They said we couldn't play defense. We did that in the first game. They said they couldn't play defense. They did that in the second game. I thought it was more our offense versus their defense than the other way. And I thought that bled over to the defense. So I thought it was more our offense tonight.
Pacers guard Tyrese Halliburton is a native of Oshkosh, but says his family was mistreated in Milwaukee.
You know, this has been my little brother in the stands the other day was, called the N-word. And so, it was important for us as a family, to just address that. And that was important for us to talk about because that just didn't sit right with anybody in our family.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight to a low around 30. For tomorrow, more sunshine with a few clouds in the afternoon and warmer, high near 60. Then rain rolls into the area tomorrow night and Friday, becoming breezy as well, highs upper 50s. And more showers and storms around for the weekend and cooler. Right now it's 48.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
On my next show, the celebration of Earth Week continues. I'm going to be joined by Carrie Schumann, Executive Director of Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Don't miss it.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Wednesday educators amplified in the house.
Teacher, oh yeah.
Anna, teacher Hallie, Johnny's here. Johnny, again, for the big announcement last night, April 30th, man, Minocqua Brewing, Busted Pencils Live, live broadcast from the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room in Madison. Johnny, you know why? Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. We are so happy. The partnership, the announcement, the connection between Minocqua Brewing and Busted Pencils. Yes, live event. We will be there. Yeah, doing the show live from the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room in Madison, 6 o'clock, Tuesday, April 30th. Johnny Lupinacci, Slecker, you name it. Everybody else, I tell you what, there's been
guests.
I'm thinking, you know, maybe not the red carpet this time, but, you know, there's some paparazzi, though, that are already starting to hang out and trying to get pictures out here in front of my house in Ohio. I think there's paparazzi. I don't know. Maybe who knows what they are? Hey, I'm so looking forward to this. And we said, you know, yeah, this will be interesting because secret. I don't know if we reveal this, but there's an interesting fact. Maybe we'll put this out there tonight. Anybody wants to call in and know this interesting fact? There's something about Johnny and Tim that they have never done before that will actually happen. And so if you can figure out what that is, that's something Tim and Johnny have never done before. There's probably lots of things we haven't done before, but together.
Right, it's pretty open.
Now, this is pretty vague, Tim.
Give us a call. Let us know. And if you're right, you know, show up at the event. Hey, might have some free swag for you. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number is 855-752-4842. It is Wednesday night, though. Educators amplified are in the house. Teacher Joanna, yes. Teacher Hallie. Coming at this, typically doing, you know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you know, home turf types of things. But this news coming out of Tennessee, it's just too raw. We have to be there. And so kind of springing it on everybody, it's not new, but you've been following it, but we didn't rehearse this. I wanted you all to come at this truly from a reaction state. So out of K-12 Dive, I'm going to use that to read from: Tennessee lawmakers approved concealed handguns for teachers. Teachers in Tennessee will be able to carry concealed guns on school campus as long as they undergo additional training in school policing under a bill passed Tuesday by the state's General Assembly. They plan on the governor could veto it, but they don't see that happening. This is following the March 2023, so almost a year or a little bit over a year ago, mass shooting at Covenant School in Nashville, where three students and three staff members were killed. Governor Lee pushed for legislative action to address school violence and to increase gun safety. His firearm control measures earned ire from Republicans, who said any red flag law is a non-starter. Not exactly sure what that means. The bill that passed this week was put on pause for nearly a year, but now we're going to arm teachers. It's SB 1325, also known with the companion bill HB 1202, would require that participating teachers, well, they have to go under a, they have to have a psychological test, though, before they can carry guns. All right. So there it is. We've been dealing with school shootings now. What, you know, Columbine back, what, 20 years ago, you name it, they've been one. The Parkland shooting. I know people who listen to Busted Pencils, the podcast. Sadly, how close do these things connect? That one of the activist friends that I did the opt-out with, her son was actually got away safely in the Parkland shooting, but was there, and I interviewed his mom the day after that happened. Too often, too frequent, we've seen this. And here we are in Tennessee now saying, well, then the way we stop gun violence is with gun violence. That's the way I read this. It's like, you want to stop gun violence? You just need a better gun, and you need somebody to be able to handle that gun better. Because to me, this is the admission of saying, look, we're not willing to do anything to take care of school violence, school shooters. The whole idea going here, we're just simply giving up and saying, you know what, teachers, have your guns. If something happens, take them out first. Try to minimize the damage. Johnny, you think I'm making too light of this?
I don't think you are. We'll get into it because, I mean, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna here tonight, and in thinking about this from the perspective of being a teacher,
classroom.
Also, I'm going to dive in if we get into this. This is on the fly, Tim, but I want to dive into some of the details because immediately when this hit, I did start reading about it because I kind of fall in a gray area on this, and it's there's no question about it that I think schools should be gun-free zones. But our communities aren't, and that gets really slippery. And so I'm not in any way advocating for guns in schools, but I want to go over some of the Tennessee legislation because good school leaders can still say no guns in our schools.
So I get it. Okay. So
this is one of those Second Amendment rights things we're going to get into where it's way, way more political. But again, in the crosshairs, literally pun intended tonight, are children and teachers and people in schools, and that is just no way safe. So we'll get into it, but I want to be like clear. There's some details around this that make me kind of be like, I mean, like we are getting into
here's the best part about this is I'm, and I know that, right, John, you're not a hunter or anything like that. I go out, kill stuff, put it on the table. You don't do that. I'm looking at this and going like, there's nothing gray in here. This is a stupidness. Let's go. Wait, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, though. It's Educators Amplified night. Teacher Joanna, you want to go out and start packing to go to school the next day?
Well, as you're talking, of course, I'm literally taking deep breaths. Like, just hearing about it dysregulates me, and I've got to, like, whatever, because... And I would feel that I'm not reacting, I'm responding, because I'm really clear on, it's from a clear space to me, that gun violence is the number one killer of children.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And just that, like, as an educator, that's all. I don't even need to think about myself. I need to think about my babies, and my babies can range from 3 years old to 21 in our K-12 schools, that it's already the number one killer. And that's a really sad, tragic fact. And so to bring that in the space where there's a concentration of our children, not adding up to me.
All right, Teacher Hallie.
Yeah, I found myself taking deep breaths, and like logical thoughts will come in. Like questioning and statistics, and where teachers are involved, then emotional questions will come of like, I mean, it's wild. Like, my brain can't even take it on besides being like, nothing feels good about it, because I'll try to, like, I've never been in an active shooter like scenario. I've done tons of practices, and those are scary enough, and especially trying to help children through that. But if I really try to think about being in it, I'm like, I think it's really short-sighted, where we're not thinking about, like, even seeing your teacher hold a gun is traumatic. Having a teacher have it in their holster is traumatic. Like, and so we're just adding more trauma to potentially a situation, you know, like, for me personally, I've never been in that situation. And so some children will never go through that situation, but then they potentially will now in Tennessee, because they're going to see their teacher have a gun. So I just, it boggles my mind, and it makes me really, really sad to think about.
So from a scientific standpoint, I'll drop some of my emotions, because I obviously have them here. The statistics around this, if we want to get into them, the reality of introducing a gun into a school with children, statistics, anytime, you know, people hate when I bring this one up, but as soon as you put a gun into the space that occupies people, the likelihood of a gun accident, guess what? It increases automatically. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just it's people like, what are you saying? Guns kill people? Yeah, I am. I'm actually saying that when you put that physical thing in a space where there not used to be that physical thing, that now physical thing, the gun being in that space, statistically pushes up the percentages that stuff will go wrong. Man, I'm really biting on my tongue tonight, because boy, I could really use some choice language as we were really taking this through. Now, here's the one of the just the bill sponsor. Okay, I've got a quote from the bill sponsor. As the parent of public school kids, my kids are grown now. One of the biggest questions that people ask me all the time, have you done everything you could possibly do to make our schools safe across the state? I believe that this method is what I am doing to make schools safe. That's the sponsor, parent, saying, look, people are hounding me. They're asking me, what am I doing to make schools safe? I can walk out of the chamber today and proudly answer them, I have done something today to make your children safe. I have now made sure that if that teacher, and I'll even give Johnny some credit, if that teacher and that principal want to go through the training and want to agree to that, they can now make your child safe, because that teacher will be armed, and a good guy with a gun is way better than just a bad guy with a gun.
Well, it really opens the door too to, like, teacher blaming. Because I'm like, if they're giving teachers the choice, which, number one, I'm like, wow, now teachers get a choice for something. But if a teacher chooses,
you want to have a gun.
Right. But if a teacher chooses not to, what are even the ramifications of that?
All these things come through. But, you know, the first thing it made me think is like, OK, but we're not going to let you choose your reading curriculum, though, darn it, because you guys are just not experienced enough to make curriculum decisions. We're going to give you a firearm that can take people out, you know, maybe a clip of 9 or something like that. So in case you could take 9 people out. But my goodness, we are not going to turn over the social studies curriculum. The social studies curriculum is just off limits to teachers. Let's give them guns. It's busted pencils. 855-752-4842. Well, in Tennessee, it's about to be legal. Do you have some thoughts, man? Love it. Bring it back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Yeah, you're going to hear the frustration in the music. That's the way I'm feeling tonight. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Gun violence, solution to gun violence. Well, in Tennessee, according to the lawmaker that sponsored the bill, he's just making kids safer. You can now, as a teacher, carry a gun through a concealed situation. Lots of details that we're going to get into here as we come forward with this to, you know, give it some sense. But the idea here, and Hallie, I'm not sure if this is where you were going, but to talking about this, the decision then, because Johnny said it'll be up to the teacher and the principal to make the decision as to whether they want to do that. So no one's going to say, "Teacher Hallie, you have to carry a gun." You know what, though? I'm a little bit going with the, well, wait. So if I say no and something goes wrong, then I'm going to be blamed because I'm the teacher that said I didn't want a gun. And now, or the principal, what principal is going to step up and go, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to bring guns in my school, and then deal with the pressure. All of these pressures and societal things, it's just a mess. Okay, we'll take a second, though. Joanne from Madison's on the line. Hopefully Joanne can give us some reasoning to think through this. Joanne, what's happening, our friend?
What an issue. I'm so appalled in so many different ways, but I have a practical question. I'm wondering about a personal insurance that school participants could carry so they could be defended if something went wrong. When I was teaching in a school that had, in a university that had AFT supporting it, we were, you know, as part of our AFT dues, we had $250,000 of personal insurance. You know, if something would go wrong, if we, you know, inappropriately touch a student or something like that, and at least we could have some legal defense along those lines. And I'm just wondering, has there been any mention of that? Teachers would need to have some insurance so that they could defend themselves for what will inevitably happen. I mean, is somebody, a gun will go off in somebody's pants or something like that and scare people or whatever, it'll happen. So, is this whole idea of insurance for liability for insurance passe? Maybe it's old school.
Joanne, thank you. No, actually, it's a really good question. Johnny, you're looking at the details. I don't want to be specific, but I did see concerns about that issue and saying that if a, quote, accidental thing happens, will the teachers have any ability to defend themselves? And if they will, and as you say, is there an insurance policy? Because if you're going to make me carry a gun, I might want like $250,000 worth of money behind it in case I do happen to shoot my own kneecap off. I could sue myself or something like that. I don't know. Johnny, get details.
Well, Tim, it's going to fall under the liability of having a concealed carry permit with some additional training that's required. And I'm not advocating for this. Like, I'm just going to be really clear from all angles. I think this is a terrible idea. And I think we'll pivot to like, what do we all mean by safety? Because we have four really experienced educators here who think really different about safety than, I'll call it out, the political agenda of the people putting this bill forward. This is really about arguing for Second Amendment rights and putting teachers and children right in the middle of this in a very dangerous way. So really, to be quite blunt with Joanne, I don't know the details of like how the teachers unions in Tennessee or if the, you know, the teacher association is scrambling to figure this out. But this is going to, again, like most issues around this, this is to individualize responsibility. This is to move away from collectively working towards peace in our communities and to put it into individual responsibilities where we could blame an individual if there is an accident. We could say, well, that person made a mistake. They should be held responsible for it. So it's, you know, it's many layers of a bad idea, but for one reason, like caller Joanne was saying, it's not a matter of when an accident happens. We know this around gun statistics. It's a matter of that it will happen.
Will.
And I would only hope that it was someone was scared because a gun went off, and more likely it's going to be somebody is shot and killed. Mm-hmm. If not more than one person, many people.
Hey, oh, check Larry. Yeah, Larry from Tennessee. Let's go right where it's happening. Larry from Tennessee, what's happening, friend?
How you doing, man? This is Larry Prophet. I'm one of the badass teachers, and I have fought against this happening for many years. As a matter of fact, the last time they got close to this, I spoke in committee and was accosted by a legislator outside the committee room and basically said I was denying those teachers Second Amendment rights. This has never been about safety. The Tennessee Firearm Association makes the NRA look like a bunch of Girl Scouts. I literally, having run for office before because education is not put where it needs to be, I was told by one of their members that if they could own a tank and put it in their yard, they should be able to do it. They want no laws inhibiting it. And our Senate and our House both expelled people from the chambers because they did not want to hear people telling them how stupid it was while they were doing it. And so they threw all the protesters out, people who were there to have their voice raised. And it's crazy. And I've told people, when guns come in my school, I'm through teaching. And I'm not going to do it, man, because how are you going to take care of somebody? Let's say you have a teacher who's carrying. They've got to carry. They've got to carry, or it does no good to have it anyway. But if you're carrying, and let's say you slip, a bullet ricochets, it hits a student, a peer, who's going to pay for the medication it'll take to help you sleep the rest of your life? Because if I shot one of my students or one of the teachers, and I'm telling you, more guns don't help. I live in a gun. I have three guns myself. We live in a county where there are plenty of guns. If more guns helped, we wouldn't have to worry about people getting to our schools. So more guns does not help. And so we just finally defeated the voucher bill again, and people were so excited about that, but I knew this gun thing was coming, and it's hard to be excited. And I tell you, man, I was glad to see when Mike posted that this was going to be on tonight, and I was sure wanting to get on there. But I'm telling you, you can't find 10 teachers and 10 of them out of 10 will not tell you they want this. Now, I have met teachers that do. Oh, I think it's okay. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. I know what kind of pressure teachers are under over test scores. I sure don't want to have it with a gun.
Larry from Tennessee, man. You know,
thanks for calling. Thanks for being a teacher.
Thanks for being a teacher. And man, stay in there. Teacher Joanna, I see you got the look there of like, and you put in the text, I can't believe this is a choice. What do you say to teacher Larry?
Well, too, thank you for calling in. It is wonderful to hear directly from a badass teacher that has direct experience. We know what that means, the bats. Just hearing him again, hearing another educator explain all the scenarios that we, you know, to me, it's like we're inviting these problems. And it's like, oh, my God, we have so many problems and that we have to just, yeah, this is really hard for me. It's hard to think like these are the conversations we are having to have. I appreciate and recognize what Johnny and Larry both brought up, that this is at, you know, because you get stuck in the loop, like this actually isn't about schools. And that's always hard to reconcile with.
Man, Busted Pencils, fully leaded, education talk, educated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say that UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few hundred bucks in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Christine Gordon, a career educator, has announced she's running for the Wisconsin 39th Assembly District. She says she wants to provide a unifying presence to solve problems facing Wisconsin. The 39th Assembly District covers all of Green Lake and Marquette counties and parts of Fond du Lac, Winnebago, Columbia, and Adams counties. Republican Alex Dahlman of Green Lake is the current representative for the 39th District. He says he will seek re-election. The body of a young woman pulled from the East River in Green Bay on Saturday has been positively identified as 22-year-old Yvonne Benitez of Bellevue. Benitez was reported missing to Brown County Sheriff's Office on April 15th. Her body was found by a search party Saturday. An autopsy did not indicate foul play. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction celebrated its 30th anniversary last weekend in Hollywood. Gathering for the celebration were cast members Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Harvey Keitel, and John Travolta. The event was held at Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard and was part of the TMC Classic Film Festival. The film was released in 1994 and was the follow-up to Tarantino's first film, Reservoir Dogs. Anne Hathaway recently talked about making out with several different actors in front of casting directors to see if there was chemistry. Hathaway said she went along with the antiquated practice in the early 2000s because she didn't want to be considered difficult. She said it was really awkward when the producers made it seem like she should be excited to make out with so many different guys in front of them. Hathaway produced and stars in the new film, The Idea of You, which will be released May 2nd and only makes out with people she wants to these days. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight to a low around 30. For tomorrow, more sunshine with a few clouds in the afternoon and warmer, high near 60. Then rain rolls into the area tomorrow night and Friday, becoming breezy as well. Highs upper 50s. And more showers and storms around for the weekend and cooler. Right now it's 48.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll welcome Chad Kernett from Cantilever Studios, and Christine Brown from Greasy Fingers Barbershop in Appleton will be here as well. Make sure and join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna. Man, you know, Larry from Tennessee, thanks for giving us a call, giving us a, you know, a sense. Badass teacher, a bat from Tennessee, talking about saying, like, no, man, not while I'm a teacher. The NRA, Second Amendment, all of these things. Want to get to that. However, got a caller from Appleton, Cindy. Cindy in Appleton. Cindy, what are you thinking about?
Well, I think this is crazy. I don't understand these legislators. How do they think throwing more guns at the already big gun problem is going to fix the problem? This is insane.
Yeah, I think, yeah, on that part, right? I don't know. I would love for somebody to point out the sanity in this for me so I can see it, because Johnny.
I mean, Tim, and you know, Larry called in, and this is a sad thing that we have to discuss this as educators, because it's really already dangerous for children in our communities, and we're supposed to be cultivating a safe place for young people and for the people caring for those young people. And so we would hope that schools are, in a sense, if we could, you know, call them neutral zones or, you know, places where we don't have this. But it is advocacy. The sanity is like Larry said, it's the firearm industry. It's the special interest groups advocating for the sales of more guns. And that's a really, really sad thing, because this is not about children and their safety. This is about, you know, advocating for deregulation of the sales of firearms. They're increasing that. So making like throwing gasoline on an already big fire is what this is about. And it's about, again, like Teacher Hallie said, there's also a double down sanity in it, in that it puts the responsibilities on schools. It's another way to blame teachers in schools. Say, well, if you wanted your school to be safe, then teachers would, you know, carry firearms. And that is absolutely, like caller Cindy said, like we're saying, that's absolutely ludicrous, unless you're lobbying for deregulation on guns, right? Which we know is a massive problem in this country. The lack of regulations around firearms has created a massive problem, and it becomes a Second Amendment argument.
That's the Second Amendment argument. I mean, that one drives me insane. It's like, you know, because you heard Larry say this. It's like, look, there are people down there that are like, look, you know. And in fact, I heard some of the floor debate in Tennessee, and one of the legislators down there literally put this out there and said, look, this is a Second Amendment issue. The Constitution of the government, the federal government, says you can have a gun. And the only reason I'm approving this bill is because I am simply now making it legal in Tennessee schools, so that Tennessee schools can be in compliance with the federal constitution. I mean, that was the rationale for saying this is why. Hallie, come on.
I am really grappling around. I am sick and tired of saying words that, like, but it's not accurate. So they keep saying it's about safety, but it's not about safety. You know, I do have issue with, like, words being hijacked, I feel like, you know, if we were like, but yet we never actually sit down and talk about the safety, you know, like they just blanket say, like, this will make schools safe again, you know, and I have difficulty with that, because they're taking, you know, like what educators are professionals in, and like redefining what education can look like, because they're not including professionals clearly in these decisions. I can't fathom it.
Well, and I must sound less like the bleeding heart on every show, but I am literally just picturing, we lost a student to gun violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that pain,
yep,
for that family and our students is, mm-hmm, like unimaginable. Mm-hmm. We had a student whose mother was a victim in a mass shooting. Mm-hmm. And so as the, you know, right, as it's, I just, and then I'm, you know, we know so many students who this has touched, you know, gun violence has touched their life. Mm-hmm. And
I don't know. I can't get over it. Like, you guys are talking logic and I'm all in my emotion of like seeing, and because we've processed these fears with the kids, mm-hmm. you know, like we've processed this, like we sit with them in their pain. We try to reassure them. It's just really pretty overwhelming.
See that, Teacher Joanne? It's an emotional topic because you said the being touched being touched by violence and seeing this, and you're saying, you know, we have seen it, you have seen it, families, students, children, you've seen the reality of what happens with this. LA Tom though, LA Tom's on the line. Hey, LA Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey guys, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We need to get money out of politics and lobbyists out of Washington. What I'd like to say is that, again, we're allowing the right wing, the corporations, to take over our language. For years, Democrats have talked about gun control. No one wants to be controlled. It's a horrible messaging. It's gun mm-hmm. safety. Now they're using gun safety as a way for teachers to actually say, hey, carry guns. it's just crazy to me. The way you do gun safety is you put a safety on a gun, or you don't have guns anywhere near a school, or you have guns in a armory, or you have guns, you know, not in the regular public shoot 'em up corral. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous. Once again, it's just, the whole thing is insane. So you have some teachers that will carry, some teachers that won't. What could possibly go wrong? Now all of a sudden you have students probably carrying a gun too, because they're going to feel scared. Then you're going to have, you know, people that don't like other students. They're going to get killed. This is just nuts. Can I just say one thing? I want to just change the topic a little bit, because I think it's something that maybe will bring a little bit of levity to a different conversation.
Go for sure.
I think everyone, especially you teachers, need to teach Taylor Swift, since she's from Tennessee, her album that just came out, because there is such poetry in it, and there is such, like, she has such a vocabulary. And it makes people want to, like we talk about with the AI, how you want to go and research things and you want to find out things. I mean, she said things in her things like Patti Smith and this other person that are great poets, I guess. And, you know, I went and looked all this stuff up, because it's something that really is creative. And she just brings it out of the young kids, brings it out of people, you know, that are older like myself. I mean,
LA Tom, now I get you hooking on the Twitter and the Taylor Swift thing to me there the other day. I was like, okay, I'm like, why is LA Tom putting me in a Taylor Swift tweet? Now I get it. There it is. It's right there. LA Tom, man, thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate that, Tim, I appreciate LA Tom's pivot for us, because sure. You know, he summed it up. There is a hijacking of language that twists this around. Right. And, you know, Teacher Hallie was saying that too. Like, it's really like taking these words that mean something, like a safe place to learn. That's important. Right. But our larger community, we know, is struggling with gun violence, and our schools need to lead the way on being safe spaces, not being more dangerous places, just so that we can say, well, maybe that'll work. We know it won't. Mm-hmm. But I love the pivot. And I love the idea of, like, yeah, I think, you know, LA Tom's right. Like we should be talking about, like, sad that we have to talk about this, because it is pressing issue for teachers. I mean, Larry calling is evidence of that. We've all been close to gun violence with youth in our communities and in our schools. And it is very real, but it's a sad day. And it's, if we, the people, right, are the government, if we value democracy in human life and human rights, right, then we would do something at a higher level to regulate guns in all of our communities. That shouldn't fall on putting that responsibility on individuals, principals, teachers. And it's just insane. So I love the pivot. Also, Tom, love the album. I mean, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. You wouldn't think about it given the music that we bumper in our show. But I think if you're a music fan out there, or just a fan of the movement in music right now, to speak to the experience that young women have in their lives, and then also the education that I think boys are getting and young people are getting through great music like that, it is a great pivot. So thanks for bringing it up, Tom. Thanks for reminding us of the good things. Admits, because my heart's been racing since you brought this up, Tim. I'm sweating.
Come on.
Well, I think it gets to what I also mean by the safety being taken over is we're only talking about their definition of an external safety. And we're talking about what Joanne is talking about is the internal safety or the psychological safety that children need in general, but then they also need in order to learn in a school. And so that's the piece that like nobody talks about. I honestly, when we talk about safety or when I hear people talk about safety, we're never talking about the psychological safety of like what's going on inside, whether it's the racing heart or the thoughts that happen or the grieving that needs to come from their other experiences. Like nobody is touching on that.
No, and that makes me then pivot, not another pivot, but back into saying that is that, so we know that then there are going to be children now that are going like, I don't feel safe now because, well, you don't know if your teacher has a gun or does or doesn't have a gun. I know that makes me not feel safe. I don't know. Is my teacher carrying a gun? We're introducing, as you just said there, a psychological stress in a situation where we know amped up psychological stress. Remember, people, back to basics academics, schools is about learning, okay? And if schools is about learning, then we need to reduce the psychological stress. The reality here is that introducing guns into classrooms with teachers will absolutely increase the stress and the psychological. Teacher Hallie.
Don't they have studies too on saying like children shouldn't play so many like shooting games? You know what I mean? About how it like desensitizes them or they have like a skewed view of like what guns can actually do. So they're now we're like, but you know where they should be in schools. Like what? I'm my brain is like ding, 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 ding of all the reasons this is bad.
And it sends a message. Even in the best case scenario, we say, oh, but maybe there's an argument being made where kids will feel safer. You know, that's lying to children, first of all, which we, none of us as educators sign up to do. Second of all, it sends a message, a really clear message that they are not responsible for how they participate in their community, and neither are we. We're just going to shoot people who are fall out of line. And so it's not about engagement and responsibility. It's about compliance in the most extreme way. It's like, like I will get you to behave because you will be in fear for your life. Otherwise, I mean, it's extreme disciplinary punishment. I mean, it's saying that because really, if we boil it down, guns are for killing people. Right. I mean, like maybe someone might call and give us a scenario where someone with highly skilled training knows how to, you know, use a firearm in a way that doesn't end in death. But to me, and I think the general public, guns are for ending lives. And there might be a case where we say like our law enforcement, our military, they're trained and they have to be in those situations. But holy smokes. Right. How do we layer this onto you, you know, every day, like Johnny Lupinacci having a concealed carry permit in his math class, like that's not the disciplinary framework most teachers I know work in. We are trying to, you know, really work on, hey, you're responsible for things. And yes, I am here also as an adult in the room and an expert who's saying, hey, when you make a mistake, there's some ways you might need to correct your behavior or, you know, take a time and regain regulation as Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie talk about. But it's through really peaceful process, right? And it's through one that we know works towards change, that acknowledges like moving from fight, flight, or freeze into sort of being able to think and feel and regulate our emotions and our actions. And that is the opposite of what presence of a gun does.
It's busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, Tennessee, it's almost legal for teachers to carry guns. Is this a safety issue? I think we're saying no.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety.
What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower healthcare costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Music sounds appropriate tonight. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Tennessee going to be legal for teachers to have a concealed carry, guns in the schools if Governor Bill Lee signs off on it. All indications say he probably will. We had, you know, great callers tonight, but, you know, Larry, a badass teacher from Tennessee, called in to kind of point out the reality of going, like, he's been fighting this, you know, for the longest time, doesn't want to be a teacher, going into a building, knowing that if this is truly becomes law, how it kind of situates him. And it, yeah, all the whole ideas about, you know, why you get into to teaching, and again, the word safety and the corruption of that word. And then even Taylor Swift and Johnny, man, are you checking your regulation right now on the show?
Yeah, man. I told you, this topic is like, that's what my heart's been racing since you put it out there. Because
got his blood pressure cuff on.
Yeah. Okay. And everybody who's just listening, but anybody on the feeds, yeah, Johnny Lupinacci right now is literally taking his blood pressure during the show.
Heart attack on the show. It's like, I mean, because really, I think about this and coming from a community where there were many guns and teaching in a community where the message was really clear, we need to have a safe place for children to be. And that's all the people in that space, and really coming together to work really hard across all kinds of boundaries, like having law enforcement, having, you know, military and veterans part of that conversation, having pediatricians, having everybody land on, it is not safe to have guns in children, and guns in schools is just what one of, like, everybody agreed that this is bad. And now here we are, like, we already have the trauma and stress around, we're preparing teachers to go into a world where they're hearing and our children are going to schools feeling unsafe. And yet our response collectively in a place like Tennessee, and they're not alone, I don't want to pick on Tennessee, right? Collectively is, let's just rethink this and put more guns in the classroom. I mean, we know smoking is bad, and we teach children that smoking is bad for your health. The solution isn't, let's let the tobacco industry have, you know, carte blanche, and every teacher should bring a pack of cigarettes into class and light up. That's kind of the kind of logic, and my heart is just racing this whole show, because I just can't imagine any good coming from this kind of.
But you made me think about this, and Teacher Joanna, see if you come in after this. Okay. What's happening here, though, Johnny, you said I'm assuming when you were talking about teaching in Detroit, so you have all these people in there talking about, how do we make kids feel safe? So you've got law enforcement, you've got veterans, you've got pediatricians, you've got, right, okay, groups and groups and groups of professional people who are sitting there, and I guarantee you there is not a single professional opinion around, is this a good safe space for kids? This is an absolutely not. There isn't a child psychologist out there who's going, well, let me think about that, because I need to challenge that a little bit, because I've got one kid, I know if he knew that his teacher had a gun, he would feel a lot safer. So on that, you know, Teacher Joe, there isn't an expert out there that would jump in and say, this makes sense.
Well, and that's what it makes me think about, how far removed again. And this is what we talked about last week, that teachers are from decision making and defining the terms of the profession. So this is really clear on that. Gives a whole new meaning to work-life balance, literally, right? And I just, yeah, and right, there really are experts. My brother is a retired police officer. He was a school safety officer, too. And right, there's experts out here, and they have knowledge, and they have opinions, and
experience.
They support my work, and they support my work. I support their work, but we know our lanes, let's say.
No, I do find it important as far as, right, this is happening in Tennessee right now, but if there's anything I've learned over the years, is that, like, we cannot expect this not to happen, you know, or be brought up where we are. So if there,
if there's a bad idea with education policy somewhere, it will be replicated everywhere.
Yeah. So let's not get apathetic towards this. You know, like, having the conversation is important.
And that, and that's why I want to bring it here, is to have the conversation, get people going. Because, yeah, you know what? And Larry made the point, though, too. How did this happen? Because just the day before in Tennessee, they rallied as a community, as a democracy, to defeat a voucher bill across this. And like Larry's kind of saying, you know, and then on that, you know, celebration, though, the Republican controlled legislature there, though, came in very quickly during that celebration and passed this arming teachers law. And you sit down and go, it's like, part of this is saying, I could see a couple, you know, in that voucher bill going, you know what, guys, let's give on the vouchers this year, because tomorrow morning, we're going to push that gun bill down their throats, and they'll get that gun bill, and they won't even see it coming. I don't know. I mean, this is the way, you know, because there isn't an expert out there saying we should do this. There are gun companies saying we should do this. There are gun nuts out there saying we should do this. I'm sure Wayne LaPierre from NRA thinks this is a good idea. We even got, you know, God forbid, the constitutional originalists or the perfectionists, or however they call themselves. I'm sorry, Tim. I'm just upholding federal Second Amendment rights that say your right to carry guns shall not be infringed. And that means when you're a teacher in a school, you do not give up your constitutional right to carry a gun. And I am just simply making sure that the Constitution is followed in the state of Tennessee. And if you're a teacher, you get the protection of the Constitution.
Except you do when you enter into a space where the mission is to provide safe learning environment for everyone. You still have your constitutional right as a member of this country, just not in that space, because it's not part of, like, the best body of knowledge to education. Tim, these are great conversations. Love when we have Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna on. We're all going to be together live next week at the Minocqua Brewing Company in Madison. And you know what? Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out minocquabrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Can't wait. Progressive beer. Johnny, that had to drop your blood pressure right there, man.
I mean, I would like to just sit with my people, you know, and be in the presence of regulated folks who are discussing how can we make these spaces actually safer.
Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, thank you. Tomorrow night, Diane Ravitch. See y'all tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, and Brewers tickets. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Mino and the Mayor.
Well, Matt, this is really great. I'm glad I called your football game that night.
Yeah, me
too. I still remember that. That's the last game I ever did at the Bonta Bowl.
I think that might be the last game I ever played at the Bonta Bowl also.
Yeah.
So we share that together.
What a great place that is, though.
I loved it, man. Playing on that field, it was so loud being in the bowl there. The crowd noise.
Exactly. Yeah. I still remember that night. It was a rainy night.
Yep.
Isn't that funny? I got weird memories of games.
It is. It is.
Bizarre.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.